This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Hastert to the big house. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, April 28th. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Former House Speaker Dennis Hastert has been sentenced to more than a year in prison for his role in a hush money case that revealed he sexually abused teenagers while a teacher and coach.
Desperate for delegates, Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz selects a running mate. On the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders is cutting staff.
Saying the current U.S. strategy is incoherent, presidential candidate Donald Trump presents his first major foreign policy speech.
And how your team can avoid making a mess of the NFL draft.
You know, you see all these teams you put in, they put in all these probably thousands of hours of work between all the people. They're studying game tape, they're putting players through physicals, individual workouts, they're sending investigators to dig into their backgrounds. And then you still see teams make head-scratching picks like drafting Brandon Wheaton in the first round.
Right, Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Beaton. Round one of the NFL draft is tonight. His story later in the program. A federal judge has sentenced former House Speaker Dennis Hastert to 15 months in prison for evading banking rules in what prosecutors said was an effort to pay $3.5 million in hush money to hide sexual misconduct allegations. U.S. District Judge Thomas Durkin described Mr. Hastert as a, quote, serial child molester, going beyond the range of 0 to 6 months of prison recommended under a plea agreement. Mr. Durkin said his decision took into account not only the sexual abuse that could no longer be prosecuted, but also the former speaker's attempt last year to frame one of his victims. The U.S. attorney is Zachary Farden.
Mr. Hastert's legend and legacy are gone, and in its place are a broken, humiliated man. That is as it should be.
Mr. Hastert was not charged with sexual abuse because the statute of limitations had run out. But in recent weeks, prosecutors listed allegations that dated back more than four decades to when Mr. Hastert taught and coached at Yorkville High School in Illinois. To the campaign trail now, and in the latest attempt to prevent Donald Trump from collecting enough delegates to be the Republican presidential nominee, Texas Senator Ted Cruz has chosen former business executive Carly Fiorina as his vice presidential running mate.
It isn't over because you and people all across the great Hoosier state, people all across this nation know that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton both will be disastrous for this nation.
The announcement was made yesterday in Indiana, which holds its primary this coming Tuesday. If Senator Cruz can win a large share of Indiana's 57 delegates, it will increase the chances that Mr. Trump will not be able to win the nomination on the convention's first ballot.
I'm not getting to 1,237 delegates, and Donald J. Trump is not getting to 1,237 delegates.
Ms. Fiorina, who's 61, by the way, dropped her own White House bid in February. She's a former CEO of Hewlett-Packard who could help Mr. Cruz with women voters, a group that Mr. Trump has had difficulty winning over. Typically, candidates make VP selections between clinching the nomination and the party convention over the summer. Well, Mr. Trump, in his first major foreign policy address, says the U.S. must ease tensions when possible, show enemies that we mean business, and guard against becoming involved in too many parts of the world. The speech yesterday was mostly devoid of new proposals, but was harsh in its criticism of President Obama for what Mr. Trump called an incoherent foreign policy that favored America's enemies, disappointed its friends, and de-emphasized American security.
The countries we are defending must pay for the cost of this defense. And if not, the U.S. must be prepared to let these countries defend themselves. We have no choice.
Mr. Trump, by the way, also went after former President Bush, saying his decision to invade Iraq destabilized the Middle East. And the biggest beneficiary has been Iran.
And he said Mr. Obama's actions in the Middle East gave rise to Islamic State, a terror network that he said must be defeated, though he didn't specify how. Mr. Trump tried to tether Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton to Mr. Obama, saying her time as Secretary of State in his cabinet contributed to the U.S. losing influence and allies around the world. It's 11 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Give your employees the power to do their best work. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance by updating to the most secure, manageable, and reliable Dell Latitude business class laptops and 2-in-1s with the latest Intel Core processors. Give your employees the power to do their best work. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, despite surpassing fundraising expectations, is apparently running out of money. The Vermont senator yesterday announced the campaign is laying off hundreds of field staffers after losing 5 of the last 6 nominating contests. They're conceding he has virtually no chance of taking the nomination from frontrunner Hillary Clinton. Meanwhile, here's an inside look at the passion of his supporters who feel he has the courage and honesty to give the country a necessary clean break from the status quo. It's a story from Alex Rorty at Roll Call. Alex, what have you heard from them?
When you talk to them one-on-one or with their families, there seems to be this slowly developing, if grudging, recognition that he's probably not going to win the nomination. And with that comes reflection, and I think some of that reflection is interesting, both in what it says for the future of the Democratic Party long-term, but also maybe in the short-term what it means for Hillary Clinton.
All right, yeah, you know, one of these young adults you talk to right at the top of the story said something to you along the lines of the Democratic Party is experiencing a breakup or kind of a fracturing the way the Republican Party seems to be undergoing. Explain that.
Well, in his view, Bernie Sanders has started a movement that is bigger than the Democratic Party, that focuses on what he and other Sanders supporters would consider the truth about life in America right now and the deep income inequalities in it. And his point is that even when Bernie Sanders does step down, if he doesn't win the nomination, the movement is going to continue. And that means even if the Democratic Party doesn't accept it, if Hillary Clinton doesn't start talking like Bernie Sanders, doesn't start accepting and adopting all of his own positions, then he said they're going to go ahead and find their own party. And he compared it in a lot of ways to what he thinks is happening with the Republican Party with someone like Donald Trump, who you can imagine if he weren't going to get the nomination either this year or in the future might think of starting his own party and would pull a chunk of the GOP with him. The sense among some Sanders supporters anyway is that something similar could happen on the Democratic side.
We're speaking with Alex Rorty, senior political reporter at Roll Call. He's got a piece with a great title. It's called The Emotional Life of Sanders Supporters. Interesting. So there's the impression that millennials, right, today's young adults, are all in when it comes to Sanders. Is that largely what you found?
There are certainly a lot of young people there, and I have to say I have to give them credit. A lot of colorful and at times funny swag that they would wear, T-shirts and pins, and you know, I saw one shirt that had a Jedi with Bernie Sanders' face, and it said, "May the Force be with you." And you have to give them points for creativity.
Right.
You know, and the polls show this. I mean, Hillary Clinton struggles dramatically with young people, and you would think that, look, they do constitute, for all the attention they receive, they constitute a tiny portion of the Democratic electorate, and that's why Hillary Clinton is doing well. But, of course, they are the future of the Democratic Party, and their numbers are only going to grow in the future. And it really, I think, sets up, you know, in future Democratic presidential primaries, whether it's 4 years or 8 years, you're really going to see, I think, a lot of Sanders' rhetoric and positions as the norm. rather than the positions adopted by more of an insurgent candidate like Sanders.
Why do these folks love him? Because you said in the piece these folks are true believers in the cause. Meaning what?
Mm-hmm. Well, to sum it up, truth to power is the way they see it. That Bernie Sanders describes the condition of American life in the way they see it, that there are entire segments of society and the population who are being left behind.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Rorty at Roll Call. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the county sheriff investigating the death of Prince is asking for help from the Drug Enforcement Administration. Officials say prescription painkillers were found in his possession when he died and in his house near Minneapolis, though officials have yet to say what role, if any, those medications may have played in his death. The DEA's role will be to determine where the medications came from and what prescriptions Prince had obtained. Some of Prince's friends have said he took Percocet to relieve pain in his hips, the result of years of jumping during performances. Dennis Hastert, the Republican who for 8 years presided over the House and was second in line of succession to the presidency, has been sentenced to more than a year in prison in the hush money case that revealed accusations he sexually abused teenagers while coaching high school wrestling. U.S. Attorney Zachary Farden.
Is anybody satisfied with this process and this sentencing given the gravity of the historic crimes? Of course not, Phil. Of course not.
The case makes the former speaker one of the highest-ranking U.S. politicians ever sentenced to prison. Former Republican presidential candidate Carly Fiorina is back as Ted Cruz's running mate. Cruz made the announcement yesterday in Indiana, a state whose primary he must win next week to keep his White House hopes alive.
The Hoosier State is going to have a powerful voice in making that clear.
Frontrunner Donald Trump mocked Cruz, saying he can't win. What's he doing picking vice presidents? The Department of Education has launched a new website to help people with student loans find a repayment option that best suits their needs. The move is part of an effort the Obama administration is undertaking to enroll an additional 2 million people into repayment programs such as Pay As You Earn, which caps monthly student loan payments at 10% of income. And it took 103 engineers at Dyson 4 years to make a supersonic hair dryer. The dryer is so powerful that it comes with a special rubber mat to prevent it from flying off the counter. Dyson says its supersonic hair dryer won't damage hair. It'll be available this fall exclusively at Sephora for only $400.
Wow. Turn this thing on and like all the lights in the neighborhood go dim. It's so powerful. So it is. Jennifer's using the hair dryer again. No reading for a while.
Probably dries your hair in about 3 seconds.
Right.
I could use that.
I don't know if I could afford that. I got this receding hairline. If I turn a hair dryer on that, man,
it
might all
pull your
fly
hair
off.
Out.
23 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by TIAA. Discover what makes us a different kind of financial partner at the new TIAA.org. Don't be so quick to gloss over those employee benefit mailings from HR. They might offer valuable help for getting your financial house in order. Kelly Grant at CNBC.com says more employers are looking beyond retirement resources to help employees with other financial issues. Kelly, what's trending?
The bosses are realizing that we're all pretty stressed about money, and a lot of companies are implementing essentially financial management and education programs. And this is not just stuff like retirement, but basics like, you know, investing 101 type courses, debt management, budgeting, saving for life goals like college or to buy a house, all sorts of interesting personal finance topics.
All right, so where do these resources come from? Are companies signing up and making folks available? Are they hiring new in-house staff to address this?
Well, what you're going to see is going to vary pretty widely by company. I mean, for some of them, they're really mailing it in, and this is just maybe access to, you know, a couple of calculators, some basic information, not that different from what you could Google and find out. But some of them are actually doing one-on-one access to a financial planner, or they're actually hiring planners or other companies to come in and be able to talk to employees about what they need to know and what they need to think about.
All right. So the cynic in me says, we're so stressed out that we're not performing as well as they'd like us to, and therefore they're bringing these experts in.
You're not wrong on that one. I mean, this is, you know, a lot of the companies, when they delve into why are they putting these sorts of programs in place, they'll say, you know, because it's the right thing to do. But, you know, then you look at the numbers, and it was about 44% of them in one recent report that said, well, you know, we don't want workers to be as distracted as they are at work. And we hear from other reports that workers say in a lot of cases they're so stressed about their finances that they do spend a couple of hours every week, you know, when they're supposed to be working. They're either actively, you know, making some phone calls trying to fix things that are going wrong in their lives, or they're at least just so distracted thinking about it that they're not fully on with work.
Wow. All right. So how popular is this right now? Who's getting into it?
You know, right now we're seeing a report from Aon Hewitt that say about 55% of employers already offer a program in at least one of those sort of personal finance areas, and they expect by the end of the year it's about 3/4 of these large and mid-sized companies are going to be doing so.
Okay. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Her piece is entitled, Your New Office Workout, Financial Fitness. All right, so are we more stressed out than ever, or are more employers just figuring out that this is an issue for us?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, we are hearing from other reports that are out there. Bank of America and PricewaterhouseCoopers had recently conducted some surveys, and they really do point to employees being more stressed than ever before, and also, you know, having a lot of these little indicators that our finances are not in good shape, like being unable to make your rent or your mortgage payment every month. But, you know, employers, I think, are also realizing that they've put us in a lot of these situations, too, where it's on us now to be saving for retirement. It's on us to be managing our health care plans, and a lot of that can be very complex.
That's for sure. Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like being a top 10 pro-business state, or 2,000, the number of unnecessary regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years, and 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climate, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more, Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Thursday, April 28. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Cruz picks Fiorina. Sanders cutting staff. Bob Knight endorses Donald Trump, and the deadspin headline for that story reads, quote, angry white guy endorses angrier orange guy. Former House Speaker Dennis Hastert gets 15 months. Stevie Nicks sang with the kids last night on Broadway during a performance of School of Rock. Steph who? Warriors advance in the NBA playoffs. And how some delegates are paying their way to the summer political conventions. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. The NFL draft begins tonight with round one. It kicks off at 8 o'clock Eastern from Chicago on ESPN. Rounds two and three are tomorrow. It does not have to be as difficult as some teams make it.
New York Jets, first round choice. Jeff Lagerman, linebacker, Virginia.
It's obvious to me right now that the Jets just don't understand what the draft's all about.
The standard groan from Jets fans. That was from back in 1988. Meanwhile, as NFL teams attempt to navigate their way through this year's draft without shooting themselves in the foot, Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Beaton has put together a handful of simple rules that teams can follow to avoid the missteps that result in a draft class that can cripple a franchise. Andrew, help us out.
You know, you see all these teams you put in, they put in all these probably thousands of hours of work between all the people. They're studying game tape. They're putting players through physicals, individual workouts. They're sending investigators to dig into their backgrounds. And then you still see teams make head-scratching picks like drafting Brandon Wheaton in the first round. And so we were just looking for some interesting statistical trends about here are some things that you can look for maybe as a fan or see what your team is doing and say, you know, we should like that. There are things like, you know, you never really hear about youth in terms of whether you should draft a player. You hear about that all the time in the NBA draft where you know freshmen are always the hottest prospects every year, but you never really hear a player's age in regards to the NFL draft. But according to our research, actually, the younger players have actually had a much greater rate of making the Pro Bowl when drafted in the first round versus older players drafted in the first round. So things like that about how here's some easy tips that maybe teams should look at or maybe fans can just pay attention to on draft day.
All right, so if it's that easy, how come my New York Jets haven't had a quarterback since roughly 1968?
Well, finding that good quarterback might be the toughest thing around. I mean, just ask the Browns, who've done things like draft Brandon Weeden or Johnny Manziel or took Tim Couch with the first overall pick in 1999.
Wow, that's right.
But, you know, one of the interesting things we found out about quarterbacks was that, you know, every NFL general manager dreams of finding the next Tom Brady. You see, you don't see many quarterbacks taken in the middle rounds of the draft, in rounds like 3, 4, and 5, but you see a ton go off in rounds 6 and 7. But those quarterbacks have absolutely no hope of turning into a future star. Tom Brady is the real exception to the rule, but you see all these teams think, all right, this is our penny stock. We're going to go for it. Yeah. But actually, if you look at second-round picks or even third-round picks, they have a decent rate of turning into pretty good players. And Jets fans haven't gotten to see Bryce Petty yet. You brought up the Jets, but they took him pretty high last year, sat him on the bench. So it'll be interesting to see what he turns into down the road.
Yeah. What was your point, too, about making more trades?
So that actually came from a fascinating study by a couple of Wichita State economics professors who essentially found that when teams trade up to draft a specific player, that player ends up having a better career than teams that retained their pick in that same spot. So essentially, a lot of their numbers boil down to these economic principles about like free markets and whatnot, but their idea is that when a player knows it needs a specific guy, they probably have a higher need for that pick than that team that's willing to trade down. So they have a better use for that player or whatever it may be, but they place more value on that pick, and with good reason, and that player turns out to have a better career based on their metrics, which looked at a player's value, how many games he plays, how many games they started. So we've seen with the first two picks in this year's draft, the Rams and Eagles, they traded so much to move up.
Yeah.
And I think the reaction after those picks is often, you know, they're going to get the guy they want, but man, look at how much they traded. They traded two first-round picks among a host of other considerations. And it's easy to say, you know, man, that's just a whole ton to trade for just a flyer that we don't even know how great these quarterbacks will be. But what this research essentially said, when teams trade up knowing which guy they want, that guy actually has a better chance of having a solid career.
There's Andrew Beaton from the Wall Street Journal. The first two picks, as you mentioned, in this year's draft belong to the Rams and Eagles, who traded to get there in order to likely select quarterbacks Jared Goff from Cal Berkeley and Carson Wentz from North Dakota State. 20 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us beyond the headlines. Now, This Morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're the owner of a Windows-compatible PC, you've no doubt been prompted recently by Microsoft to upgrade your system to Windows 10. And if you've chosen not to upgrade, you've also learned that Microsoft isn't taking your no for an answer. A TV meteorologist in Iowa found that out the hard way yesterday morning when a giant Windows 10 upgrade prompt appeared on the weather map she was standing in front of during her live broadcast.
Now, Live Super Doppler has been indicating locally heavy amounts of rainfall across southwest Iowa. Microsoft recommends upgrading to Windows 10. What should I do?
Matinka Slater of KCCI in Des Moines was quick to change feeds and rid Iowa of that Windows 10 UFO that was hovering over the map. According to TheVerge.com, Microsoft has been aggressively pushing Windows 10 out to existing Windows 7 and Windows 8 machines.
That's aggressive.
Yeah, in a bid to reach its 1 billion devices goal, but the website says that this prompt is slowly turning into the new blue screen of death. This one hits home for me because I have a laptop at home with Windows 7 on it. And yeah, pretty much every time I fire it up, I get that prompt from Microsoft to upgrade. And I don't want to do it because it's an older laptop.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about what's going to happen if I upgrade to this. Is it going to slow my computer to a crawl? And that's what I'm worried about. I think a lot of people are worried about that.
It's funny. Weather forecast on Thursday. Light rain.
Yes.
Clearing late in the day. And a big dose of Windows 10.
Yeah, and a chance of upgrade.
That's great.
And good news, everyone. You can now wear your mildly discontented face with some validation. The phenomenon, resting bee face, you know what the bee is, Gordon, of course, is real, according to scientists. Mm. According to CNN, in a 2015 study, scientists from Noldis Information Technology used the company's face reader software to analyze the faces of celebrities like Kanye West, Kristen Stewart, Anna Kendrick, and Queen Elizabeth II, notable public figures who have been known to occasionally wear a less-than-pleased expression. What they discovered was that celebrities who had bored or annoyed looks were showing underlying levels of emotions that are not seen in people who don't have RBF, and that subtle facial expressions like a slightly pullback lip or squinting eyes can read as contempt. The study also says that cultural differences and gender bias may play a role in people's perception of RBF. Eastern European people are seen as very stoic and not showing a lot of emotion, and a lot of people touted as having RBF are women. RBF first gained attention when a meme took over the internet in 2013.
2013?
Yeah, can you believe it's been 3 years that we've been talking about that?
No. I thought it was like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
RBF.
Yeah, but the thing that you notice with this is that some people, like, for instance, Anna Kendrick is one of the people who they say has this, you know, sort of perceived as having this kind of this face. But she, when you see her on talk shows, she's one of those bubbly, happy people that there is. So she's not, her personality doesn't necessarily fit that.
Right.
But it's just the kind of thing that happens when she stops smiling, her face just sort of falls into this position.
Okay.
It's an annoyed looking position.
I guess it's that reason I wouldn't have picked her for this list. Kristen Stewart, yes.
Yes.
Kanye West, I mean, that's a permanent for him. And poor Queen Elizabeth II gets tossed in there also.
Yeah. So some people are just, they're just afflicted with it almost, though. They're happy people, but it just kind of happens.
Resting bee face. That's the bee rhymes with stitch. That's resting, you know, stitch face, if you want to call it that. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Hey, glad you're with us. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the UN envoy to Syria is urging the U.S. and Russia to intervene at the highest level to save struggling peace talks, calling the partial truce agreed upon in February barely alive. At least 20 civilians were killed overnight in government strikes on a hospital and nearby residential building in eastern Aleppo. Ted Cruz has announced Carly Fiorina as his vice president pick after a great deal of consideration and prayer. He praised Fiorina as a woman of extraordinary intelligence and a woman of deep principle. In accepting the position, Fiorina says the Cruz ticket is not down and out.
It isn't over because you and people all across the great Hoosier state, people all across this nation know that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton both will be disastrous for this nation.
Indiana holds its primary on Tuesday. Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign says it plans to lay off hundreds of field staffers and other aides, even as the Democratic candidate promises to keep running against Hillary Clinton through the June primaries and into the Philadelphia convention. Staff will be cut from about 1,000 to 350. Billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk has disclosed plans to send an unmanned capsule to Mars, perhaps as soon as 2018, revealing the first details of his long-term vision to set up habitats on the red planet. The announcement made on Twitter didn't include any specifics about the potential mission and left unanswered all the major technical and funding questions surrounding Musk's plan to someday colonize Mars. And now you can have an interactive experience at the new 14,000-square-foot Spam Museum in Austin, Minnesota. The museum, which opened last weekend, replaces the original Spam Museum, which was located at Hormel Foods headquarters. Hormel calls the museum a great way for people to connect with iconic Spam products, showcasing Spam's history with the military, a set of bluegrass instruments made of Spam cans, and a 12-foot Spam rocket.
Spam Museum. Mm-hmm. 14,000 square feet.
Put it on your list.
Of Spam stuff. Got it. Very good. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. So for delegates taking part in the summer political conventions, the cost of being part of the nominating process can run into the thousands of dollars. They often have to pay for travel to the conventions, hotel rooms, meals, incidentals, of course. State parties may also require delegates to pay fees for participation. The Wall Street Journal says to offset some of the costs, some 50 delegates to this point have set up a fundraising campaign on the website GoFundMe, which allows people to raise money for personal and charitable causes. One of the site's appealing features is that fundraising campaigns can be shared across social networks, such as Facebook and Twitter, so it's easily promoted to your friends and followers. Federal Election Commission regulations prohibit delegates from accepting contributions from corporations, labor organizations, federal contractors, or foreign nationals. Go figure, right? Those groups can buy just about anybody else, right? But the delegates can accept donations from individuals. A political campaign or party could also help cover expenses. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Give your employees the power to do their best work. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance by updating to the most secure, manageable, and reliable Dell Latitude business class laptops and 2-in-1s with the latest Intel Core processors. Give your employees the power to do their best work. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio.